What's going on, folks? Ty, Benchcler Media. I hope you're having a great week. Today, we want to talk about something that I think is very applicable to all of us, and that is how to adjust your mindset and your approach in a bear market, a down market. We've obviously seen sports cars drop in value across the board. Every player has gone through a little bit of the up and down in different ways. But Mike and I wanted to share our feedback and strategies on how to approach a bear market differently, because there is just as many opportunities in a bear market as there is in a bull market. And as a sports card collector, you're always trying to look for strategies and ways to take advantage of the situation. And I think there's a lot of ways that you can impact your collecting, your sports card investing, whatever it is, in a positive way in a down market. All right, let's talk through it. Mike, happy Wednesday to you.
Ty, man, feels like I'm seeing a lot of you lately.
You asked for it. You get it.
Jeez. Everybody else is seeing a lot of us lately. Hopefully they're asking for it as well.
That's right. Well, the feedback has been consistently good. I've loved the comments. I've loved the interaction on our videos recently. I don't know about you. I mean, you and I have been responding to a lot of comments. It's been super fun just engaging with people in the videos.
Yeah. It's nice to have people that, you know, agree, disagree, and you can have a, you know, nobody's being totally douchey, so that's good, you know.
Yeah. The last video we did yesterday on the whole eBay policy was very polarizing, as expected, which is totally fine. I get both sides of the argument, so that was good. But today we're gonna cover something that I think is very fitting for the time that we're in, and that is the strategy for buying sports cards in a down market. You got your carrot juice ready?
No, just some water.
Okay. Are you a carrot juice guy? Have you ever tried carrot juice?
That sounds so disgusting.
Oh my goodness.
I do like carrots, but yeah. Carrot juice, like V8, I could never do V8.
Yeah, same.
Like,
yeah. If you drink carrot juice, let me know below. I feel like it's a very small little base of people that are like, yeah, I want carrot juice. And my wife puts like ginger and beets and garlic in it.
It's so healthy.
It's quite the experience. All right. But anyway, strategy in a down market. So you're coming at it from a financial, like the stock market perspective. When you're advising clients in general in the stock market, what's kind of the, let's start with kind of the mind shift that takes place when things transform into a bear market. Kind of what do you have to coach people on?
Well, it's very difficult to, because there's a lot of emotion wrapped up into that.
Yeah.
Right. And there's so many parallels between the stock market and the sports card market. It's absolutely insane if you really think about it. But the mental aspect of it, everything's down, because all of us own sports cards currently.
Yeah.
And we all probably want to acquire more sports cards, just like you would, you know, I own stocks, or if I have a 401k or whatever, an IRA, when things go down, you should be acquiring more, which is counterintuitive. You're like, no, I'm not buying. I'm not trying to try to catch that falling knife. But the reality is you'll never pick the bottom unless you just get lucky.
Yep.
That's true in the sports card market too. You're not going to pick the absolute lowest price of XYZ card in the last 2 years or whatever. And it's highly unlikely that we're going to get back to levels we were a few years ago. So with those two things being said, you've got to be really careful to not let your emotions drive your decisions.
Yeah.
And try to be logical, which is why I have a job, by the way, because I'm not emotional about other people's money. I'm emotional about my own money.
Right.
But I'm not emotional about other people's money, and I can look at it objectively, which maybe that means we should have other people buy our cards for us. Like that's a service we could do. We could be in partnership with the great eBay, or no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no, but you're exactly right. So I have 5 points today that I want to go through, 5 tips that I want to give people to shift their thinking and to hopefully offer you some strategies in buying and selling your sports cards in a down market. Because the the reality is, and I think this kind of goes without saying a little bit, we are in a down market in the sports card world right now. We've seen a 7 month, 8 month trend of declining prices. Of course, some of the big names like the Tom Brady's of the world have held up amidst the decline, but for the most part, we're in a bear market. Agreed?
Totally agree. And those that say we're being prophets of doom, no, it's just math. Like, don't get mad at us. We didn't cause it. It's the reality.
It's the reality. And the positive spin on all this is that it presents a unique set of opportunities.
For sure.
A bear market presents as many opportunities as a bull market. And I think it holds true in sports cards as well. So I'm going to go through my points and you can add some color around them and you might have your own, but
I have a couple of points, from there. But yeah,
let's start with the first one. And you kind of alluded to it. And that is, in a bear market in sports cards, you have to understand the rules are now different. And the rules of engagement a year and a half ago were, as a buyer, you had to be quick. You had to be quick to the trigger. You had to be willing to spend a little bit more money than, you know, comps. But that all shifts in a bear market. And the bear market, as a buyer, you're now in the driver's seat. And that means you don't have to be greedy. You don't have to chase something. You can negotiate with a little bit of leverage. It's important to know, just right now, as a buyer, you are in the driver's seat. Do you agree with that?
We have more leverage now than we have in several years as buyers of sports cards, because there's that chart, the emotional roller coaster of investing, and desperation's coming for people that got in over their heads in terms of sports cards. I'm not saying everybody, like, people take our comments as if we're saying them as a universal statement, right? It's not. It's a general statement that applies to, in a lot of cases, not necessarily every case. Yeah. So just people that jump on us for making these statements that sound exclusive, they're not. They're way more general than you guys are thinking. But there will be some desperation leaking in, not necessarily right this second, but maybe by the National.
Yeah.
You know, 6 months from now. Which, for the way, it's only 6 months away, the National.
Yeah, that's crazy to think about. Well, you're going to be on John Newman's podcast on Friday. He put out a tweet today talking about a collection he's going to buy on Sunday. And he made the comment on Twitter that he's seeing more people reach out saying, hey, I just want to get out of the hobby because it's not like I expected. And I can 100% agree with that and confirm that I'm hearing the same thing, because I've obviously been buying collections too. And the common theme right now is, man, it was exciting 2 years ago. Oh, crap. This is not as exciting as I thought it would be 2 years later. I just need the cash. And I think, to your point, we're going to see that accelerate, which means, as a buyer, you can be more selective. You can put out those offers that you think are kind of foolish, or like, I don't want to like insult you, but no, hey, look, you have cash, you bring it to the deal, you have all the leverage in the world. Enjoy that.
So to that point, and you say that we're going to have we have leverage, that I think that will only increase. We're offering real money for cardboard. That's, you know, where else are you going to, you know? And then also with that comes patience though. And I think it's so important to be patient along while watching this all happen. Don't feel like you need to be in a hurry to buy those cards you might have been eyeballing over the last year to 18 months. Be patient still, even still. It might be cheaper than you've seen it in a long time. Yep. Be patient.
Yeah.
Or make offers that make them, as my dad likes to say, make them tell you you're crazy a couple of times, you know? What? Who cares? Like, make an offer. I'm offering real money for cardboard. Do you want it or not? No? Okay. I'll be patient.
Yep, exactly. Especially for non-numbered, less scarce stuff, right? Yeah, that stuff's going to continue entering the market. So don't rush to the scene there. Okay. Number one, rules are different. So just accept that. Buyers, you're in the driver's seat. Sellers, you have to be a little bit more aggressive with the way you're selling to get some of those deals, because you're competing with a lot of people liquidating right now. Number two, you already mentioned this, but I think this is a very important point. And that is, if you have a conviction about somebody, a player, whether it's collecting, investing, building a set, whatever it may be, there's no better time to dollar cost average than now. If you believed in Luka Doncic a year ago, a year and a half ago at $2,000 for his PSA 10, I'm assuming you still believe at him when he's $700. And if you have a $2,000 card, you buy a $700 card, guess what that means? You're in at $1,300 for some Luka Doncic rookies. And you can kind of look at that a lot of different ways, especially for guys like that who you really have conviction about. Averaging down, no better time than right now.
But you have to average down. You can't just buy one more, which I know sounds weird. You have to buy multiple because you have to bring that average cost from 22,000 past 1300, more like to 1000. So if you bought three more at 700, you're now paying the same price you did for the two, essentially for the $2,000 one. Right. And now you have four and now your average cost is, you know, a grand, maybe less. The math escapes me in the moment. Yeah. It's a grand because you have four at $4,000 cost. Right. So that's $1,000 a piece, which always helps when, and this will happen, the market will go back up.
Yeah.
It's cyclical, man. To think that they're going down and sports cards are now going to be worth nothing, that's as much crazy talk as, you know, anything else. That's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
There will always be a demand as long as there are people that watch baseball. I mean,
it's for sure.
Not going to happen. Or basketball or whatever sport, NFL, pick your thing.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, averaging down is different for every player, every sport, every era. Like, averaging down in vintage is difficult because vintage doesn't move as much as like the modern day market. Vintage, if it falls back 5% for Mickey Mantle, you have to jump on that. And you think it's crazy, but like, that's just the way the vintage market works. Whereas you do see a 40% drop in a modern day card because of the volatility in the performances. Just the reality. So you have to understand, like, dollar cost averaging is going to feel different in every scenario, but there is opportunity.
Even vintage, I'll throw this out there, Ty. Vintage is coming down 25, 30, 40% for key cards, like important cards. And it's not immune to short-term disruptions, short-term, you know, fire sales, so to speak, within the hobby. And great. You need, again, take advantage, be patient, but take advantage, right?
Right.
Which is a weird dichotomy of thought. Be patient, but take advantage. Those, you have to find a way to make those coexist.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Cool. Number two was dollar cost averaging. Number three, and this is the most fun point that I want to make in a down market. This is your opportunity to add things to your collection that you wouldn't normally add. In a bull market, you get very selective because everything's expensive. But in a bear market, if you have the finances to make it work, you can buy things and diversify your collection in a way that you normally can't do. And that, to me, is the most enjoyable piece of a bear market. What are your thoughts on that?
Give an example of that.
Yeah, like for me, so I am a very specific player collector. I like teams, but I like players more. So for me, I've always bought very certain players like the Michael Porters, the George Bretts. But as prices have come down, I'm thinking, okay, I kind of like the Nuggets. I might go grab some Jamal Murray's or Jokic's or I might go a little bit deeper into the Royals category that I wouldn't have normally gone because I didn't want to pay, you know, $150 for this card. Now it's $25. I'll go grab it. So I get more interested in that now.
You know, it's because that kind of thing is happening to me. I'm not buying cards. I'm back on hiatus for a couple of months, but I'm eyeballing some things that are in sets that I had kind of, or projects that I'd kind of put on a back burner for that exact reason that probably, like, I'm not paying that. I just wanted it for giggles and I got bigger fish to fry, so to speak, in what I want for my collection. So now I'm revisiting those. Huh? I wonder what those are doing now. You know, those, I'll call them smaller items they are price wise much less expensive, and they should be less expensive. They're not, they just got caught up. Everything got caught up in the same wave of crazy. Yeah. And those are coming back down, which is making me go, oh, I'm going to revisit that in a couple of months when I'm ready to go. I'm kind of putting little notes to self, right?
I love it. Yeah, I love it because you can also enter new categories. Like I've actually started to even explore adding some comic books and things that I wouldn't have normally added, but I've started to see prices kind of fall off a little bit and thinking, why not kind of diversify the collection? And you don't have to go super deep into it, but it's a great time to enter some of those markets.
Yeah, this is a macro hobby thing that's happening. People, yeah. It's not, there's always
the asset that, bubbles.
Yes. And so it's happening in comic books, it's happening in sports cards, it's happening in Pokemon cards, etc. It's all across the board because people don't have free money anymore. There's a lot of economic reasons that all this is happening that are contributing to this. But I love it that you're thinking outside the box. Smart.
I mean, especially if you were able to sell some stuff at the highs and you have some kind of capital floating around in your hobby budget, now's a good time to diversify a little bit. All right. So point number four is geared more towards sellers. And I've learned this the last few months, especially. You have to realize in this type of market, budgets change and thresholds change for buyers. So while they were gravitating towards $500 PSA 10 cards a year ago, now they're gravitating towards a different category of cards. So cards under $100 that are raw, very niche cards in the late 90s are actually doing really well right now. And it's not anything specific around like all of a sudden they realize it's nostalgic. It's no, they want to spend money on cards, but they realize they can get better value for raw cards in this era with this type of design. And it just, that's a part of the cyclical nature of all this too. As a seller, be okay with pushing a different type of your inventory that budgets now allow or budgets now focus on.
Yeah. Thoughts? No, it kind of goes to a lot of the other points we were talking about in terms of the higher end stuff is kind of out there and doing its thing. But I think what we said, was it yesterday, or you're going to see a lot more focus on lower end cards and raw stuff. And there's just going to be a lot more demand for that because it's cheaper. It's just simple. Yeah. People can buy more of it, you know?
Yeah. The thrift mindset is now kind of setting in a little bit. How can I go find value? How can I scoop up something for the long term? If you have the inventory, I mean, be okay with selling more quantity and less expensive stuff.
Yeah.
I think it's a good strategy as a seller in this type of market.
Good idea.
Number five, actually I have six. So number five is, this is a great time to buy up solid names. Guys that are bona fide, potential Hall of Famers, you know, MVPs, guys like Mike Trout, who came off of an injury, guys who are coming off of injuries, period, who have come off of trades, guys like maybe a Russell Wilson who had a down year. The market really exploited them in the sports card world, and it drove those guys down more than they should have been. Like, there's an opportunity to go grab guys like Mike Trout. There's no doubt about that in my mind. This is your chance, and you don't get these chances very often where kind of all the stars aligned for you to get better deals on bona fide names.
Yeah. And that's especially true in baseball right now, given the lockout, given all the negativity towards baseball right now. I mean, take advantage of it. Go take find those names that you love. Juan Soto, Acuna, not necessarily Otani, but some of those other guys that, if Acuna comes back from injury and does great, you're going to look like a genius, right? I mean,
yeah, exactly. There's a long list of those guys. Football, Derrick Henry, right? Injury, didn't play that well. All of a sudden, I mean, Russell Wilson's a great example. Basketball, there's plenty of those guys, including Michael Porter Jr., but maybe not a bona fide star by any means, but definitely take advantage of the injuries right now.
For sure.
Yeah. All right, number six. You won't agree with this one, I don't think. But I'm going to throw this out there because I think you can finally do this again. And it's an enjoyable part of the hobby to me. In a bear market, in a down market, this is your chance to be okay with opening wax. You can afford it again.
Say that.
You can go grab a box. You can be normal and open cards and just enjoy it. What do you think about that, Mike?
No comment. I don't know. I don't.
I know you hate it. You hate the idea of it because you're just so frugal.
No, I just know it's a losing proposition 95% of the time when you open a box. And then, you know, JT opened a box of baseball's Bowman's Best. Did you see that?
I did. He killed it.
And he pulled Acuna Soto dual autograph number to 10. It's like,
yeah,
it's going to give people false hope.
Well, again, it's not necessarily about the gamble sometimes. Sometimes sure. It's just about the enjoyment of it. And it was not enjoyable a year and a half ago when you had to chase down a blaster for $60. Or hobby boxes were never in stock. Like now that's kind of coming back to reality. And you can go buy a box of cards within reason and not feel like you have to not eat for the next week to make it work.
Yeah, there's nothing. I totally agree with the concept of cheap fun, right? Cheap enjoyment. And blaster boxes and stuff like that can provide that, no doubt. I mean, Top Series 1's coming out in a couple of weeks. I'll probably pick up a blaster or two just to see what the cards look like, and not expecting to have anywhere close to the value of the cards, you know, or of the box, but
yeah,
it'll be fun. It's fun. I do agree. It's fun.
All right. I that's all I wanted. I wanted you just to admit that it was fun.
It is fun. It's just expensive. It can be expensive fun, or certainly it has been recently.
It can. All that to say, all those points to say, look, there's a bear market. We're in the middle of it. There's a lot of negativity around here, but there are lots of opportunities that present themselves in this type of market. And if you kind of change your mindset a little bit, you can capitalize and you can grow your collection. You can buy some good cards. Hopefully that go up in value over time. And you can enjoy the hobby just as much as in a bull market.
Totally agree.
There you go. We kept it to 22 minutes. Have yourself an amazing afternoon.
All right, man. See ya.
See ya.
Bye, guys. Yeah!